This morning, as we get into the passage that I say this quite often, and it's some of those things that, you know, when preparing a message, 99% of it is aimed at me, and 99% of it probably should be aimed at you, but that's up to you and God. That's not up to me. But what He has given me this morning, it's a little bit of a lengthy passage to read, but I don't want to leave out the things that I feel like God has for us. So we are going to be in chapter 11 of John, and we're going to speak just a little bit about the death of Lazarus and a little bit about the resurrection of Lazarus, but more about the purpose for the death and the raising of Lazarus. So if you'd read along with me, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom You love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, He said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard this, that he was sick, He stayed two more days in the place where He was. Then after this, He said to His disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to Him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone You, and You're going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' These things He said, and after He had said them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then His disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that He was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.' Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world.'" Now I'm going to jump down to verse 38. "Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?' Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me.' Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with his cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Let's pray. Father God, we lift up this passage. We know this passage very well, but Lord, we want to know it more. We want to understand what you have for us. Lord, continue to teach us, continue to grow us, continue to use us. May your word come alive today. May you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. As we know this passage, many of us have heard it for years and years, and we focus a lot of times on the fact that Jesus spoke to the dead and Lazarus came forth from the grave. And there are so many great songs that portray this, and it is a great miracle. But this morning, I want us to look at something a little bit different. I want us to look at the tough time. You know, here a while back, I was able to give a graduation speech or whatever, sermon, whatever you want to call it, to some graduates. And I talked to them about how life is not easy, how life is not fair, and how life is not forever. And as I thought back about that this week, those three things tell us a lot about life. We want it to be easy. We want it to be fair. But I don't want it to be forever. Not down here. I can't wait for the day that Jesus comes to take us home. But as we talk about those things and what life is not, I want us to look at this passage and see what life is. We have Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus is sick and he's going to die. But you have Mary and Martha, his brother and sister, his sisters that are hurting because they're losing their brother. And it wasn't just some stranger to Jesus. It was a friend of Jesus. It says Jesus loved him. And not like Jesus loves everybody type of a love, but Jesus knew him and loved him. And those are the things that they're going through life. Death is a part of life. And as we look at this, there's some reasons for life's tough times. Man, we think all the time that we would love for life just to be easy. I don't think you would. I don't think we would really want life to be easy. Because in the hard knocks of life, in the tough times of life, there is so much there for us. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, but there's so much more. But because I get focused on the bad things, sometimes I miss the good things. And so this morning, I want us to look at the bad times that Mary and Martha are going through, the disciples are going through, Jesus is going through, and see the reason. If we look at verse 4, Jesus had heard that that Lazarus was sick, and he says, "This sickness is not unto death." And somebody might say, "Well, Jesus was wrong because he died." But if in the translation and understanding, when he says this is not unto death, he's saying this sickness is not for the purpose of death. It's not for the purpose of leading to his life being over on this earth. That's not what this sickness is about. This sickness, this tough time, is to bring glory to God. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The whole purpose of Lazarus' sickness was to bring glory to God. The purpose of Lazarus' death was to bring glory to God. The purpose of your pain and my pain is to bring glory to God. And there are times, and I'll be honest with you, there's times when I think, you know, God, you could surely find a better way to bring glory to you. But that's because I want things my way. I'm sure Mary and Martha, because they sent people, Martha even went out to talk to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to heal them. There had to be some other way. If Jesus would have just came and healed Lazarus when he was sick, couldn't he have received glory? How many people in this room have been sick before and just got over it? It was a virus. The doctor said, well, it's just got to run its course. Now, you and I know that God's hand is in that. God's providence is in each time that I am healed, whether it be through medication or time or whatever. I know that God's providence is in our healing. But what we have to understand is there's a lot of people out there that aren't going to give glory to God because you got over a cold. The purpose of the bad times, Jesus tells them, is so God would be glorified. When we're in the middle of those tough times, when we're in the middle of those situations that life hurts, it stinks. There's a reason. It's because God wants to be glorified. Which brings us to the next step. If you look over in verse 14, the disciples, they remind Jesus when he says, let's go to Judea again. The disciples are, hey, let's stop and think, because those people there want to stone you. You sure you want to go back? And Jesus says, yeah, we're going back. And in verse 14 it says, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now Jesus isn't saying he's glad that Lazarus died. But he's saying, I'm glad I wasn't there to heal him for your sake, so that you will see in the end how I'm glorified. Mary and Martha weren't looking towards the end. The disciples weren't looking towards the end. They are looking at the fact that, hey, if they're going to stone Jesus and we're walking with Jesus, they may just start chucking them at us too. Thomas, I love this guy. He says to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. And that wasn't one of those, let's go so we can die with him statements. That was like, guys, are we going to go so we die with him? He did not want to go. They had seen many miracles of Jesus over time. The feeding of people, the healing of the lame and the blind and the mute and so many things. They had faith in Jesus. But when Jesus says, let's go back to Judea, their faith kind of wavered. They weren't sure they wanted to go. We might get involved in this. Those people that were wanting to kill you may try to succeed again. And we're not sure we should go back where Jesus wants to go. And Jesus says, I'm glad for your sake that we have to go back. That's a paraphrase. But he was glad that he wasn't there to heal him, so that now when we go back, you'll see what it was all about. So that your faith might grow. I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. They already believe in Jesus. But do you believe well enough to step back into a town where people are going to throw rocks? Do you believe that I can just walk up and speak to this man that's been dead for 4 days and bring him out of the tomb? Man, they hadn't experienced that before. Sometimes we experience some things and we think our faith is great. We think our faith is strong because we've made it through some small things. And yes, it was God that brought us through those, and so our faith is strong and our faith is strengthened. But if you ever think that your faith is strong enough, you're wrong. He's talking to the disciples here, who it says in that same verse, I'm glad you believe, but you don't believe enough. Your faith is not deep enough. This hard time with Lazarus sick, Mary and Martha hurting, the disciples scared, is all for your benefit so that you will grow in your faith. When you and I see the tough times we're going through, I don't see it looking at it from that angle. I don't see it as, well, this is to grow my faith. I'm so glad. We don't see that. But that's the purpose. Jesus says, this is happening because your faith is not where it should be. It's not deep enough yet. It's not strong enough yet. You need to continue to grow. You need to continue to see Jesus do things that you've never seen Him do before. Are we okay? Are we like the disciples? You know, maybe we shouldn't go back there. We've seen enough, Jesus. We know what You can do. I've seen enough in my life to know that Jesus is powerful, that God is moving. I'm good. Take away these rough times. I'm satisfied where I'm at. That's what we say. That's what I say. And Jesus says, you're not there yet. So He tells them, let's go. And man, if that wasn't enough, just to glorify God in the whole thing, when the people are standing there and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, and it almost gives you goosebumps just to hear that statement, thinking about what took place that day. Glorifying God is the whole purpose. That's the purpose for the good times and the bad times. But you know, it's to cause our faith to grow as well. But that's not all. Let's turn over and look at verse 41 and following. It says, then Jesus took away the they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. And I know that You always hear Me. But because of these people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent Me. Jesus didn't have to speak that out loud. Jesus could have just walked up and whispered, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus would have bolted out of there just the same. But Jesus says it for the purpose, for the benefit of those people standing by. Mary and Martha's trouble, they're losing their brother, and the disciples scared to death and going back knowing that a friend has died, all happened so that God would be glorified, so the disciples' faith would grow, and so that those other people standing by may believe in Jesus. Now, sometimes I realize that the things that are going on around me, God needs to be glorified. I've had that drummed into my head enough. I know that. I believe that. Not always okay with it, I'm being honest with you. And I know my faith needs to grow. But you know, when things are going tough in my life, I never think, well, so-and-so's watching me. And maybe when they see how God brings me through this tough time, they will come to believe in Jesus. Man, when my hard times come, I'm focused on me generally. I'm generally looking at the things of what am I doing wrong? How can I follow God? How can He get me out of this? And I'm me, me, me. Jesus says, I did this for the sake of the people standing around. Not the disciples. Not even Mary and Martha. But all of those people that it talked about that were friends of Mary and Martha that came to comfort them for on the sake of their brother. Those people that were just friends of Mary and Martha. Jesus said, I'm doing this so that they might believe. The tough times in your life, Mary, are so that they might believe in Me. if you and I can get a glimpse, just for a short time, of the things that we're going through that seem tough and that seem rough, that we don't want to be in the middle of, if we can just get a glimpse of the fact that Jesus may be using that to draw someone else to Him. Not to, oh, look how Steve got through this. Look how well he's doing. Everything's falling apart around him, and look how well he's doing. No, it's not that. But that they see what God is doing in the process of it all. And understand that it is not about Steve. It's not about a miracle. It's about the God of miracles. And He's doing everything to draw people to Him. And we're just the vessels. We are just the instruments that He's using. And yes, it is important that I rely on Him when I'm going through those things. And I try to glorify Him. And I try to have my faith grow. Because if those two things happen, if I try to honor and glorify God in the midst of a terrible situation, and I try to see how my faith can grow, then there's a really good chance that somebody standing around may be watching. And they may think, you know, when I went through that, I didn't have a faith in God to depend on. I didn't have an understanding. I didn't have a family that God had placed around me to show Himself and get me through that time. When you and I go through tough times, there's a reason. You don't have to like it. I'm sure Mary and Martha did not like this. And even after it was all done, when Lazarus came back, I'm sure that they thought about the fact that they had put him in that grave and they had rolled that stone over it. And I'm sure they had some bad memories. But when they let God be glorified through it all, those new memories, those new experiences blotted out. It's like they say when a woman is going through labor pains, as soon as you hand them that child, they forget that all. Well, they do. But sometimes they bring it up later and they say, you put me through this, you know. And so but the experience of that child makes it better. When we allow God to be glorified in our situations, when we allow our faith to grow, when people come to know Jesus because of something you're going through, and you depended on God, you relied on Him, and somebody comes to Jesus, you may never know it. They may never come up to you and say, you know, I saw you going through this, and because of that, I turned to the Lord. You may never know. But it doesn't matter if you know. What matters is somebody saw what God did in your life and how you relied on Him through the bad times. That's what it's all about. And it's not easy to get through those bad times. As we close, we can see these things. We can understand that there's a reason. But that doesn't make it easy. Understand that there's a growth process through it all. That's where we have to be. So many times I want to learn quick. I want to understand very fast. That way the process is over. God, okay, I learned. I'm a quick learner. God, take this bad time out of my life. Sometimes that bad hangs around. You know, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to experience the Appalachian Trail, I'm not going to experience enough in the first 2 hours. I'm going to have to walk hours and hours and days and weeks and months to experience everything. When it comes to running a marathon, man, I'm good with the first 100 yards. Is that good enough? No. But man, when you're around mile 10 and 11 and so on, you begin to realize what you're learning through the process of it all. Pain sometimes is a process. But if we stick it out, then we understand that there's growth in the process. Glorify God. Allow and look for growth in your faith. And then know that people are watching. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I lift up this time to you. I pray that you teach us. I pray you speak to us. Thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. You know, part of that process, whether it's that marathon or that Appalachian Trail or hiking, you know, up Mount Everest, there's a starting point. We have to have a starting point for our faith to grow. We have to have a starting point for God to be glorified in our life, and that's when we accept Him as our personal Savior. That's a process. Sanctification is a process of God taking me from where I was to where He wants me to be when I stand before Him someday, and it's a process until that time. We need to know that you've taken that step to start that process. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, there's a reason you're here today. And today may be the day that you start that process. Well, I don't know how to make my faith grow. Step out and believe in Jesus. Allow Him to become the Lord of your life. Surrender everything to Him and He'll take care of it. Will it be easy? No. Just like I've said this morning, there are going to be times when it stinks. Life is broken, but He will be there for you through it all. Let's pray. Father, bless this time, bless this invitation. As we sing this song, move in our hearts. Amen.